phela mina ngiyinsizwa mina yinsizwa.
Welcome to it. It's another episode of the Shady Podcast, and I'd like to first say,
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the he wants.
We do what we want.
Energy.
We do what we want, yeah, Chief. Welcome to it. It is the Shady Podcast. My name is PH, and that guy, a beautiful, handsome man over there.
Handsome.
How's it, Puti?
I like that.
How's it, eh? Shady guy.
Shady podcast. You're who good? Are you saying fuck you? I'm not apologizing.
I'm telling you, fuck you.
We
do what we want here.
Okay.
Just reminding you, Guti.
In case you thought it's something else.
We do what we want. Yeah, we're in charge.
Yeah. And just to prove that we do whatever we want here on the show, this week we decided to bring in a guest who's a Jew. How's it, Jimmy? The only podcast we have a Jewish guest other than Jewish podcasts. Jeff the Jew, ladies and gentlemen.
What's happening?
Jevon Binder in the house. Hello, Jevon.
How are you, my boy? Boys.
Jevon was my first Jewish friend.
Yes.
In life.
Okay.
One day, I was on 5FM at the time, so I was looking for white DJs. I was like, listen, I got to get these whites, you know?
Quote.
And coming from a black and colored background.
Sure.
I was like, fuck, man, too many blacks in the game. Let's get these whites, put them on air.
Sure.
They're going to be doing a mix on my show.
Yeah.
So I went to like places that whites hung out.
Oh, sound bomb. Yeah.
And I found myself at like fucking Israel Independence Day, white ones, at Kong. I put on my yummy. And Ina went into the jewel.
Sure.
And it was Saturdays at Kong, eh?
Yeah, it was Saturdays.
Kong, so before Sumo.
Sure.
It was Saturday nights at Kong. Pulled up there. These two were playing, Jevon and Jason. That time it was Sao Bomb.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, these are fucking cool oaks.
They were killing
one I knew from another separate incident at another club. And then the other one was actually into the music there. And I called him. I'm like, tapped his leg. He's like, hey, just hold on. Okay, wait for this bruh. When he came off, I'm like, yo, I'm Waras, I'm from 5FM. I'm trying to meet you, Oaks. You know what I mean? I'm looking for DJs.
Sure.
And the rest is history.
Like,
What did you think, Jeff?
When I first met you, I was like, who is this colored
the
oak
fuck
on the
is
fucking
going
DJ
on, yeah.
box here? Screaming in the microphone like he is. I'm like, what is going on here, bro? But, I mean, that was a start. We're still good friends today, boy.
Sure. Yes, look at that. That was like, what, 2014, 15, somewhere there?
That was 2014, yeah. 2014.
Yeah.
When I left Y, I went to 5.
When the game...
And he was part of, like, I was trying to put people on air.
Yes.
That were not, like, you remember there was Ultimix at 6 at 5.
Yes.
And Ultimix at 6 had Kent and Euphonic and Dino Bravo. Yes. And, you know, that was Fresh's thing.
Cool.
But it happened at a time where, in terms of the evolution of radio,
sound as well.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's where we heard the PHs, and that's where.
Sure.
And I felt like, because of the time that my show was on, which was like 6 to 9 in the evening, I was like, I want to cater to something a bit more different. It's like, what are people listening to in the clubs? What music is playing? And they were playing like hard EDM vibes.
Yeah.
I had Das Kapital playing. Fucking
Jesus.
What is Das Kapital playing?
Yo, that was extremely
cool.
Yeah.
Shout out
Das.
Music.
Das is
shout
dope,
out to Das,
yeah.
bro. Das is
in Das We Trust is still a thing on 5FM. Yes. You know what I mean?
He's still there. He's operating.
Jeez.
In fact, if you Google Waras, In Das We Trust comes up.
Really?
Like on the 5FM website,
Because of the posters? I mean, because of the posters. Because of the tattoos? No.
No, I think it's because In Das We Trust started on my show.
Oh.
Where he called it In Das We Trust, and he would come through with like new and exclusive music from SoundCloud.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. It was like unsigned oaks, or it was labels you've never heard of, but it's what was moving on the dance scene. Mm. And when I found Jeff and Jason at like Sao Bomb, I realized, obviously after getting to know them, I realized they're not just DJs. He had like a very keen interest in music.
Sure.
So I took him to a homecoming picnic.
Oh, hectic. Shout out Malachi.
Tell them, Jeff.
How was that?
bro, Warwick used to be a proper celebrity, bro. We got out the car there at homecoming picnic and a mob attacked him, bro. I was like, jeez, what is going on here, bro? Sure. Literally, his chicks were grabbing him, bro. I was like, my God, bro, get me the fuck out of here. I'm this white Jewish oak from like Linksville, bro. Where was homecoming picnic? I was like,
Pretoria.
So far away from home,
Pretoria.
Bro. I was like,
either Centurion or Pretoria, one of the two.
It was like, listen, one thing you've always done is open me up to, you know, another level of what goes on in the country. I think it's like white people, you only know these, you know, glitz and glam. It's good to get, I mean, we've been, Max's car washed, Zone 6. I'm that token white guy in there half the time with the soak. So it was great. I mean, it was eye-opening as fuck, but Jesus, it was a lot of fun. Mm.
I think, you know, like I've spoken before about like, oftentimes I think what people don't realize is sometimes you're just not exposed to other cultures.
Sure.
Not because you don't want to be, but it's almost like, if Jeff didn't have a Warwick, how the fuck, he wasn't just going to pull up at Zone 6 by himself of thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, where do you even begin to think where Zone 6
and
is?
And meeting them actually showed me that there's two completely separate party cultures, right? Because, I mean, Jason, that day of homecoming, Jason was like, let's get out of here, man. He almost shot
up. It was like a fucking mob, bro.
Really?
A like, banger in the car like this, bro.
That's hectic.
Panicked. But it's like, he didn't mean anything by it.
Sure.
Like, what the fuck, you know?
And I mean, homecoming gigs are crazy numbers, eh?
And those days, you're talking 10, like the height of fest. My man, there was like 20,000, 25,000 people there. You know, it was massive.
Because they would occupy rugby stadiums. And
but I also thought it was good because they were my boys, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, gents, believe it or not, there's shit going on outside there you won't believe, you know? You get to see like a Zone 6. A Zone 6 is like a world class, it's like a super club. From the sound, everything inside Zone 6 is like second to none.
Sure.
But you're never going to check it unless you fucking draw at Zone 6. You know, type of thing.
100%.
Mm. And also they plugged me with a lot of Jewish bitches.
Of course.
The rest is history.
Is that why you stopped being colored? Is that why you went to the other side?
Ach, I decided to make more colors.
Are you my
But where did your interest for music first start?
I think my interest for music first started from my late dad, eh? Like, for me, that's where he used to have like these like stereo systems and things like that. And I remember he passed away when I was 11, so we didn't really get to like, you know, get deep into it. But I think, you know, like my first gig I ever did was like, I took his speakers that he had and I took them to my mate's party and we had two CD players and I'd play one song on the one CD player and another one on the other CD player and like, it was still the time, you know, you were like scoring chicks and stuff, bro, like back in the day.
Sure.
Oxford, you know, those oaks got, and then I got a smoke machine, bro, and Oxford, like, you know, blowing in the, you know, those oaks, always the weird ones that had that smoke machine. So I think that's where it started. And that was in the time of like sort of house music and progressive house music. It wasn't EDM yet. It was really good progressive house, like Eric Prydz. And that's where I started catching on. And, you know, I think I was like, I started clubbing when I was like 13. I think I went to my first club there, Aqua in Rivonia, and I got raided the first night I ever went out. I shit you not. I jumped off this building. I think I almost broke my hip or something.
What?
But I think that's where it all started, you know, like the passion for music started there, and then it slowly started building. And as I kept getting exposed to more and more, I just kept loving it more and more, you know.
Do all Jews start dueling at 13 after your bar mitzvah?
After your bar mitzvah.
Like, well, when you become a man.
Actually, your bar mitzvah is your first official draw, bro.
Sure.
If you think about it, because like, when you go to bar mitzvah, you're always like, I don't know, I was part of that group that, you know, we used to smuggle alcohol in there, bro. We used to get quite turned at bar mitzvah, bro. But, I mean, yeah, I think like, you know, clubbing culture for me and back in the day in South Africa, it was like insane. I mean, we had insane clubbing culture here.
That was at the time where, because I'm just remembering now, where on a Friday night, this very same club would be black. Saturday would be
white.
White.
Yes.
Sunday. Then the Sunday
then
culture.
Then the Sunday culture also started.
Was coming through.
But Sunday culture actually started. Remember All Love Sundays?
Yeah, ALS.
Which was at Teams, Icon.
Yeah, yes. Teams Frankie.
Short.
Teams Frankie and Lulo. If I'm not mistaken, Lulu was also involved.
ALS. ALS. And the Saturday at Icon was White Night.
Yes.
That's actually where I met Jason.
Obviously.
We simultaneously attacked the same person.
Oh, hectic.
And then Eh?
Attackers in
no,
like,
there oh. was a chick that used to fuck sake. There was a chick that used to work there.
Okay.
She was a shooter girl. Mm. Right? She was Buzot. But we knew her like from outside. You know what I'm I didn't know her from outside. He knew her from outside. And you know, people will be rude with the shooter girl and stuff.
Sure.
So this guy, I don't know what the altercation was about, but he smacked the tray. You know, like, ah, fuck you, bitch, you know, because she wasn't giving him a number or whatever.
Sure.
And it was on a corner. So I saw this thing from this side and Jason saw it from this side. Mm. You check. And as I fucking gripped this guy, I was still gripping him and say, what the fuck? And Jason fucking hit him, but it sounded like a thundercloud. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Sure.
You know what I mean? And then I found him at Kong and I was like, oh, he's actually a DJ. You know, he was Chevin's bodyguard.
Mm. Yeah, but the sound then was very, like you said, was very heavy.
Yeah, it was like EDM. The energy was intense, you know, like there was no like, I think like maybe further on it got a bit more like deep house started coming in. But in the, you know, in those days, like it was EDM, progressive house, like that big room sound.
That's what it was.
I think it was like the first few ultras, like everyone was massively, you know, intoxicated in the clubs and the energy was very high.
Got you.
Whereas like, I think like you look at today and like, I don't know if you guys.
Brother. I wanna talk about that shit.
Today's the kind of music.
Fuck me, like it's boring. It looks.
I think
no. Don't get me wrong when I say it's boring because it's unleashed a different kind of world now.
Yeah,
where at least there it was about. It doesn't feel like it's about the music now.
Mm. So now it's about the scene, bro. Yes. It's about being seen, being on. You know, like there's very few purists like that go to a kind of music show just for the music. A lot of them are going there for. A move or a big got track, you know, like, and all these influences and whatever, you know, listen, bro, credit to them. They've, for me, I prefer the old kind of music, bro, when they were making the tracks, like,
sure,
not even that old, bro, like, listen, their old stuff's really good.
3-4 years ago, huh?
But yeah, their 3-4 years ago stuff, like, when I went to see them at Sonar 3-4 years ago, that was when I think they were, you know, my favorite, like, listen, they've evolved into an act now, and I think everyone's doing that.
Sure.
You know, I was watching this thing with Guetta the other day. He's like, I'm not a DJ. I'm a performer.
The performance thing, or it depends on the venue.
You know, we're putting on a show here. Like, but if you go and put me as an underground act, I'm going to play that. But
when people are coming there, they're expecting
those big moments when they're seeing like a big star, like a Guetta, or like even a kind of music. Their shows aren't very production heavy.
Sure.
But like they moment heavy, you know.
Sure.
There's all clouds and the sky and
and the scarf.
It's weird. I call it a duk, bro. It's a duk.
It's
made from South Africa, that bro.
Sure.
It's a duk.
A duk is
it's only kind of music made this thing. I'm like, boss. We've been wearing that thing for years.
How BB come to Joburg.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting to watch, but I think we'll get to it because, I mean, I don't want to skip. There's a lot of things that we need to talk about, firstly, just to establish you. But where we are now, it's just very interesting, you know. It's now party-centered around matcha and fucking...
Yeah, well, that's a good news, Jeff. You're still there, so you'll tell us about it.
Yeah.
But we're going to kick it off with the comments. Roll the comments there, Getsy.
3, 2, 1 Yo, it was over before it started.
So, Jeff, from a cultural perspective, my son, you know, in America, they have like hot dog competitions.
Yeah.
It's like a Coke and bread. Who can finish first competition?
I saw this on TikTok the other day. Bro, I love
fuck it. Me.
The way he pulls the bread, he's like 3, 2, 1, go. And immediately gets into it.
A mate of mine was just like, yo, don't remind me of this poverty, bro. I sent it to him. It's like, oh, this reminds me of poverty. I come from far. I can't be watching shit like this.
Where is this thing now, man? Send it to me on Think Getsy. Here's it. Okay, sharp. All right. No, these are the comments. So somebody said, bro, summarize the bread. And he turned the bread into a zip file. The last bread bender. Everyone else was playing to win. He was playing for the love of the game. Free meal, intern versus senior engineer.
It's hilarious.
Someone said him and that watermelon legend. Have you seen that watermelon guy?
Oh, the one that
he scoops the whole thing.
At one go, yeah, I've seen.
he cuts the watermelon out of his hand.
Fucking hell.
Fuck it. Anyway.
It's, yeah.
So back into it, we're joined by Jevon Binder, superstar DJ from Israel via Linksfield. So we like parted ways on the 5FM journey, right? So basically when you were at 5, we had the mix on a Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
And where did it go from there? Like, you obviously continued. Like, where, how did you get here over the past 6 years?
I think what happened is, we ended there, and, you know, Jason and I still did quite a bit of stuff. Did a lot of traveling in Africa, which was really, did a lot of shows in Africa.
Wait, Jewish of you?
Which was fun, bro. I went to some interesting places in Africa, let me tell you, bro. I got arrested in Zim as well for no work permit, which was fun.
Serious?
Yeah, me and Jason were sitting there in Zim.
Because of a gig? You were going there for
a
gig?
We went for a gig. They didn't get us a work permit. And they're like, where's your work permit? I'm like, well, I don't have a work permit. And then about 9 hours later, I got let out of this holding cell.
They did that to me as well.
They issued the work permit. Is it like other promoters?
It's a promoter's job.
So how it works, that's how it is. I was booked for a gig. In fact, my Figizolo was on the same flight with me. That's how I think they got me. They're like, yo, are you not with these guys? I was like, no. You know, they're like, yeah, they went through because they had work permits. I was booked by the son of a minister to do a gig there. Hey, boss. They're like, oh, yeah, I know you're a DJ. Fuck you. Where's your permit, you know?
Give us the passport.
Yeah, it was about five hours. Now I can't get a hold of this guy because eSIMs weren't a thing at the time. Not roaming. So obviously he was like, yo, you haven't gone through the gates. Where are you? They're like, no, he's been arrested. There's no work permit. How are you going to apply for a work permit?
On the Saturday or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. But long story short, they paid someone inside.
Yeah. Zim is serious about the wrong things.
Africa,
yeah. Yeah. TIA, boy. Yeah.
This is Africa. Yeah.
So, sorry. I mean, yeah, we went, we did that. And then I think when we'd started, the whole sound globally started changing. And for me, I think I started already digging deeper into more of the deeper sounds, deep house. And, you know, it was actually with Nathan, bro. I started getting quite like more into house music. And really found a passion for sort of progressive house music. And then, boom, COVID hit. And this is like, I think that's where, you know, Jason and I decided to sort of just stop things, I think. You know, we'd like reached as much as we could do with Salbom, I think.
Yeah.
Like, unless we started going internationally. Like, I was producing music as well at the time, but it wasn't going anywhere. COVID came, Jason had, you know, his sort of next few steps. I was,
and you also said day jobs.
Yeah. Jason, we had day jobs.
Isn't Jason a lawyer?
Jason's a lawyer, but Jeff was also working.
We were working, and also I think, you know, like...
He was a senior tax consultant. He was Jewish.
I worked at Deloitte for 2 years.
No, I want to ask. I've got Jewish neighbors, and where I live, I'm lekker. Bro, what's this thing that they do on Saturdays, where I just see them walking with their kids, and they're walking to... There's this thing near the gym.
Synagogue.
Is it a synagogue?
Yeah. So, you know, like, as it says in the Bible, wherever you read, is like, God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. The seventh day to Jewish people is Shabbat.
Okay.
And on Shabbat...
Isn't Shabbat Friday?
So Shabbat starts Friday night.
Okay.
I didn't really listen to Jewish studies in school, so I could say things wrong here. But I think it's when the first three stars come up.
Okay.
Shabbat starts, or when the sun goes down, or I don't know. And then... It's basically you switch off from the world.
So got you.
There's no electricity. There's no watering. There's no swimming. Like,
it's you've basically got to stay off devices.
Time to chill out, relax, spend time with your family, pray to God, go to synagogue, eat night. One thing you do when you're Jewish is you eat.
Eat,
right?
Sure.
You have Jewish mothers that make sure you're fed.
Sure.
You're fed nicely, but you can't cook. You can't light a fire. You can't, there's a lot of different nuances that go into it. But
I had one Jewish bays. I couldn't WhatsApp them on a Friday night.
Friday.
No, you were never chowing those Jewish bays. Those ones weren't chowing you with those tattoos, my
sure.
My friend.
It's stupid now.
You never know. Because
listen,
Jim,
there's some stuff we haven't discussed.
As friends. Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. They, you know, those are pretty religious people. Oh, you know, okay. They kind of go, it's kind of like putting your cell phone on do not disturb for like
24 hours.
You just spend time with family, friends, praying, and doing your thing.
Mm.
Okay.
I was never get that guy. Quite, really.
Yeah. So Jeff on the day job at night. Now you the DJ.
Sure.
Yeah. So when COVID hit, then it was like, well, now I was working at this company doing tax and VAT, and I was like, what the fuck am I actually doing? Prior to this, I was at Deloitte for 2 years in consulting. I was a consultant at Deloitte. I don't even know how I got there.
But you got there. But, come on now.
Nah, bro.
Come on.
I'm like, not a Deloitte guy.
Nepotism, then, bro. Like,
anyway, I had all this time on my hands, and, you know, being the people we were, I started, like, before we went into lockdown, I remember I phoned my mate Spencer, he owns a sound company. I said, listen, bro, do you mind if I take 2 CDJs and a mixer from you? Sure. I want to do some live mixing while, we go. And he was like, take it, bro. No one's going to use it. So I started doing, like, live mixes during COVID. It's like working out how to do this, like cameras and streaming. I was like, Jesus, it was fucking difficult. And then what I started doing is as the restrictions started getting lifted slowly, like I'd invite two of my mates to come and we'd get pretty hammered on the night. And it would be like a Saturday night. It would be like people are going to the club. They're just not going to the club. They're streaming into me. Sure. And there's lots of comments going on. And then from there, as the restrictions came up more and more, and I started digging deep into the music, I started digging deep into my sets, and then, you know, people started phoning me. They were like, bro, we're having a house party tonight for 10 people from, I think like the curfew was like 7 p.m., you have to be at home.
11
until
o'clock,
like 5 the next morning, whatever. So I'd go and play at these guys' houses in Joburg for like, bro, I'd be playing for like 10 hours, I swear.
Through the night,
bro. Oh, and that, like, that paid me well, bro. So, and that's where I started, like, building my community and my audience, I think. Okay. And from there, it just got, like, so then the 10-man party became a 30-man party. Sure. And then we'd lock ourselves in there. And, you know, there's no one else that was DJing. So I was, like, in charge for the whole night. And we'd have these all-nighters. And
sick.
That's where I started growing. And then from there, you know, I started growing as a solo DJ and really started like honing in on the sound. And because of what I'd done with Jason, I had a lot of connections in the industry. Managed to start getting my way into a couple of gigs here and there. And it was difficult at first. I think for me, I wasn't really the guy that was the people guy that wanted to go and get gigs. I was more about the music, making mashups. And then, from there it just progressed. And then like, I do a lot of private weddings, bro.
There's a lot of money there.
And I think no one really gives respect to a wedding DJ, especially in the South African context.
I want to say, and I've said this before, if you're a wedding DJ, you're one of the best DJs. Trying to manage...
Yeah, an 8-hour set.
Yeah, besides an 8-hour set, it's not a scene where it's just like these people have come for deep house or whatnot. Mm. If you're able to manage those kind of people throughout the night, you're the best.
Bro, it's also like... So when I came out of this, I started, I think I became a resident at Saint at Saint, that time as well. Yeah, and Saint's also similar to like a wedding.
Sure.
Because it's like, you've got, even at a wedding, you've got someone that's like, whatever, 16 years old, all the way to like 65.
Sure.
And how do you merge that together to make sure everyone has a great night throughout the night? One thing I do say is I'm not like your average wedding DJ. I think people phone me when they want to have like a festival experience at their wedding or... So we always make sure, you know, listen, if you want me to come there and play Sweet Caroline, I'll probably do it, but like
towards the end of the night.
But it's not happening. Yeah, yeah. Like I'm playing house. Like I usually start my sets very disco. And, you know, I'm bringing that sort of festival or club environment into your wedding. Or, and then from there, you know, Saint started booming off. I held a residency there for, I think, 3 years. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dino, Saint team, Gary, everyone. And that's where I really honed in on my sound, I think, a bit more. And then the pieces just started flowing together. I think the real turning point in my career lately has been when I hooked up with my manager, Maru. We started working together for like 2 years. Shout out Da Costa.
He's been an integral part to many
biggest
brands out there.
Yeah, and I think also it goes back to like what Warwick said earlier is like, if I hadn't met Amara, I wouldn't have been exposed to what I've been exposed to now.
Brother, if you hadn't met me, you'd have never known any non-white people. 100%.
You introduced me to Amara, you know?
Sure.
I introduced you to all the Blackhawks, you know?
I know, exactly. And I'm like so grateful for that because today I'm one of the very, I think I'm so lucky to be able to have friends in
different scenes.
You know, I think like what happens often, especially in South Africa in this scene, is you kind of get bottlenecked into your scene.
Yeah. I was going to say, like earlier when you said like, you know, like where you develop a sense of community, right?
Dog, bring the coffee.
Like Jewish people, right, by and large, is like if they know that Jev's a DJ, they're going to book Jev for their wedding because they know Jevin. But it gives Jevin that valuable wedding experience. They're going to book you for the bar mitzvah. They're going to book you for the jewels that they have.
Sure.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's almost like a community. Support structure and a community.
But that's how the Jews work.
Well, that's how they help me.
Circle them. Circle
so
them
would money. You say that that's benefited you?
What us?
Oh, thank you, sir. Mm. Oh, wow. That's so cute. Guys, look at this. Getty brought me coffee. Oh.
Dog, just bring the coffee.
He can't show on screen. Bring the story.
This guy's a nyan.
Yeah. We work with Ketsi. He's a sangoma. He can't appear on screen. Or else people...
Sure.
Yeah, listen, I think whatever I've done in my career has always been against the grail. I haven't really followed anyone's trends. And I think like meeting Amara is when like I really started taking this really seriously.
Yeah.
You know, in our camp at that time was like, I was working the murder. Like I got introduced to murder, which was bro. Like
was the couple still there at the time or not?
The couple was there. Sure. Kasango was there just as Osama had come out.
Yes.
The Africa Deep was there. I think he was doing some work with Sunil, some work with FKM Mash, and like just to be exposed as like this white guy in South Africa to be exposed to these guys is like huge, bro. And,
it's a big pool of. Influence there.
I think it's, you know, and Amaru, we really started strategizing things together, and I was still doing the weddings and things, but I was building my artist profile at the same time, which, you know, the weddings, you know, pay for a lot of what I do on the other side, and, you know, the stuff costs money.
How much are you charging for weddings?
That's a lot.
Because I know some Indian DJs out there charging $5,000.
No, listen, I'm
Kubashin, Berlin.
I'm a very premium product when it comes to weddings.
Yes, man.
But know your worth, bro.
I won't lie. If I've turned down a couple of wedding bookings because they were colored weddings. Also, like, come play 10 hours, $5,000. So if you got some Jewish wedding bookings, you know what I mean?
That's I've a different... done a lot of weddings, and weddings pay a lot of money. I think I've done one. They weren't Jew. I think one of them was Jewish or whatever. Which ones are the ones where they do the chairs?
Yeah, that's the Jewish.
Yeah. I think I've done one of those weddings. And
I did a proper bank. I did a Greek wedding years ago. Chris Katroulis got me the booking, but they booked like a mega.
Shout out, Chris.
It was me. It was fucking AKA. Like they booked us, you know what I mean? Like they went balls to the wall. And I did another wedding with AKA Nelspruit at a game farm. I think they paid me like.
Oh, whatever. I think
they paid like solid, bro. You know, like $80,000. Yeah. But we had to be there the whole weekend. Remember the wedding? It was like from Friday to Sunday.
Sure.
So me, AKA, I think Liz as well. AKA and Liz performed Heaven. You know, like this wedding was like balls to the wall. But it was, you know, those where the bride pulls up in a Rolls Royce.
Yeah. Listen, bro, I had this like epiphany a while back and I was like driving to a wedding the one night. I'm like, oh, geez, I can't believe I'm doing another wedding. I think I did like four that week. I was like, oh, again.
This was in December, wasn't it? I think you were both back to back weddings.
Yeah, like, bro,
I've seen your stories. This all goes to fucking French. You know,
I even got a driver at a stage because I was just like tired of driving, bro. And I was like, oh, I can't. And I had this epiphany. I'm like, you can't have this attitude. You're actually forming the integral part of someone's most memorable day of their life.
100%.
Yeah. Those two people that are getting married or the people around them, that's their biggest day of their life. Like, they will always remember their wedding. And if it's cuck, they'll remember
either way.
But if it's amazing, they'll, you know, it holds a lot of value. And that's every time I like, you know, I think we all had it when you get like a bit despondent from gigs and stuff.
Sure.
But overwhelmed and you're like, oh, I can't believe I have to go and play tonight. Just think about small things like that that put perspective.
I got despondent about DJing once and then I retired.
Yeah, well,
I
you became a gangster, bro.
yeah, I mean, there was a time where, and I always made a joke to my driver or security, whatever you want to think, and I was just like, at some point, I really got over it where you're playing, but you're watching someone eating pup. Sorry. You're watching someone eating pup and fucking and fighting with a horse roll or fucking steak. And I was like, this can't be my fucking life. Or at least I can't I can't remember, man. I don't know if it was a Shisanyam or whatever, but I was like, look, there's certain I just, on that day.
Oh, sucking the bone there, bro.
Bro, I'm like, yo. You know, I'm just like, nah, this can't be my life. This can't be my life where I'm playing shows like this. So that's one of the days I decided.
You're busy playing when someone's breaking a loaf of bread
I'm
off.
Going, you know that guy? That guy's fucking tearing that bread apart. And I decided that day, I was like, you know, fuck this. There's certain shows I'm just absolutely
I'm not
going to
do.
Nah, and I said to the office, I was like, yo, here's a list of venues where I'm just like,
I've done my duty.
The booking
bro.
Comes in. I'm busy. I choose peace in my life. I choose peace. And sometimes, and that's where I realized that there's certain things where money doesn't mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because it killed my joy.
But it's also a thing of like paying your school fees and experiencing that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think like a lot of artists these days don't experience these things.
They're lucky. They're lucky.
You know, when I first started getting booked, I'll tell you guys, because I was colored that time, right?
I managed you for a while.
Dude, this is before you, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is at YFM 2009. Monde had taught me about gigs, right? I went to Technics DJ Mix Club and I learned how to play. I would actually practice. And every weekend I'd go out with Monde or Bobster or Skido's younger brother Bobster. To like Zambezi, Jack Buddha and Mamelodi.
During apartheid,
bro. And I'd go to these places, but sometimes I'd have to follow in my own car because I'd have to leave and go back to studio because I needed to get back at like 3 o'clock in the morning to do my show. And that was sort of like where I cut my teeth. We were playing on fucking CDJ 100s.
100s, yeah.
Mm. And what Monde would do is Monde would play for 50 minutes and then he'd say, Faga two, like put two there, you know, then I could mix these two songs. And when you play in that deep scene, it's, you know, you're playing a 9 minute song.
That's one song.
You understand what I mean? That's your two songs of fucking a quarter of the set.
Sure.
Right? And then I'd play my two songs and just get it like a feel for it. But it wasn't my gig. And the first gigs that I started taking were from a guy named Kurt. He was a big gangster. And he owned Moody Blues, which was like a super colored club.
Sure.
And you know, when someone has this reputation that like you say, you pay your school fees, you know, people be like, no, don't go play there. You're that club. People die there every week. Like, you mustn't go there, you know.
Well, he was like,
and
I'm
this
there,
guy
boss.
Was like, bro, check it out. We will fetch you. We'll bring you here. We'll give you 10 grand cash. Whatever. What? How much do you want? You know, type of thing. I'm thinking like 2 grand. He gave me 10,000. Right? And he hosted me at this place and I was allowed to choose what time I wanted to play because those colored clubs, there's one DJ the whole night. You know, like Galaxy. There's like one DJ and you. And he was doing it because he was like so happy that there was a colored oak who's like on the radio and that he's DJing. And he was just like, yo, man, you got to come and play for your, like what you said about community, you know, like those are the people that were excited about the fact that there was a Waras that was now on radio. And playing there, like, it's not the most, like, you know, you're playing and someone is eating a samosa here in front of you. Because there's like 24 hours samosas in there. You know, like, the more drunk you get,
my
you know,
God.
In white clubs, you go bang a line of cocaine.
Sure.
In colored clubs, you eat a samosa with that
dope. Sure.
Thing of fuck, you'll be sweating.
Cheese and corn.
Yeah, Auntie Debbie's, you know. So you're DJing there and like
it's
a little bit disheartening because it's
extremely
like, you know, there's people there that are 16 and there's people there that are 16.
Yeah.
But fuck, bro, you know what I mean? That guy, like, he really like he put the support behind me and it gave me the confidence because now I was actually playing my own sets.
Yeah.
This is like 2009, I think.
Sure.
You know?
Let's back into it. So you've now
Sorry, Jeff, I never took you there, bro.
Oh, can't believe it.
Can't go now.
I want to fast track and move to, and we'll obviously go back as to why you've moved to Cape Town, but you've Are you in between Johannesburg and Cape Town? Why? And yeah, dude, how's the scene like then? What are the challenges? Yeah, I know it's a few questions.
I think yeah, let's start with the first reason why what the move was. Is
sure.
I've always wanted to move to Cape Town. And with doing all these weddings, I was obviously doing the club gigs as well. But I found myself traveling to Cape Town like almost every weekend. So I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to live in Cape Town. I've been speaking about it for years. Let me go move to Cape Town. Which is, you know, if you've ever tried to move to Cape Town is...
I left Cape Town. I used to live there.
Go try and move there now to find a place there, my
On
God.
On the leg.
Is like, first you, yeah, it's, anyway, I got there. And when I got to Cape Town, the reason I wanted to move as well is I wanted to put myself in a bit of a vulnerable situation, you know. Sure. I think here, you know everyone.
Comfortable.
You go to the door, this one knows you, this one, you get in here, you can get any gear, you know, you've played all the clubs here.
Sure.
So moved down there. And also, I as much as, like, I've been in Joburg now for 2 weeks at this point in time today.
Sure.
But Joburg's very hustle and bustle.
Mm, yeah.
Town, like, you land, you drive out of the airport, Hello. You see the Table Mountain, like, Jesus, lacquer, bro.
Mm. You relax immediately.
You relax immediately. So it's that's actually, I think as I've gotten older, I've enjoyed time to, you know, step back. Because
sure.
when you're doing 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shows a week, you know, your body takes a hiding, and I don't think anyone really understands that. But the move was
I used to do 15.
One, two, yeah. You're a boss, bro. One is just to like also have the space during the week to rest.
Sure,
so like
sure.
When I'm in big gig mode, like I'll take a Monday off and just like it'll be my Sunday, phone off, relax, and also just to experience the scene there. It's a very listen. There are so many. Interesting different scenes there, like, and different people, and some guys are like this and like that, and it's been very eye-opening. I've met some really, really cool people, and there's been some really cool guys that I've started collaborating with. It's taken 2 years to get to this point.
Got you.
But
was the scene very welcoming when you say it's taken 2 years?
No,
because listen, when you come in, they're like, hey, here's this Jew from Joburg.
Listen, bro, As everyone says, Cape Town is one clicky place.
It's
cheap.
And I've never been one to sort of be in a, you know, I've always kind of made my own little road.
Yeah.
Even if it's a quiet one, I just get my head down, I do my thing. I know what audience I serve. I know what they like. I serve that and more people keep coming. So I must be doing something right.
Sure. Were you in my clique, boy?
Yeah. I've been in your clique for years, bro. So I think...
So, listen, PH, is that how you got kicked out of Cape Town? No click.
I fucked off.
Viway.
It's over.
Listen, it's an interesting scene. I think there's many different moving parts to it.
Sure.
And I don't think you need to have an open mind with the Cape Town scene. And you be respectful of everyone
sure.
as well.
Because
like,
on one end, you've got these matcha, yoga...
Coffee. The matcha yoga guy. Let's get into that.
Matcha,
so I've been seeing a lot of content online, right? I won't lie, it originated in Cape Town. It originated like the LA content,
what,
right?
Are you talking about
these
matcha
coffee
or are you
parties?
Talking about coffee party. Coffee party started in LA.
Yes, yeah. The coffee party
yeah.
thing. So for those of you who don't know, it's basically like a coffee shop. So it's not your typical party that happens at night until 3 in the morning. This is a coffee shop party. It happens from fucking 7 in the morning until 11 a.m. or whatever.
Sure.
And people come through after their morning run, after their gym session, after their switch class, after their yoga or whatever.
Sure.
And they pull up at the coffee shop. There's a DJ there and it's a vibe, right? So I've seen that kind of... I expected Cape Town to do it first.
To be the first, 100%.
Yeah, and I expected Cape Town to do it better. Is that what the scene is moving to? Are you a headliner at a coffee party?
I think, listen, to be quite frank with you, I'm working on something like this, but
sure.
we're working on it in a manner that's going to be the way that we want to bring the scene forward from it. I think
sure.
there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of noise, and, you know, people want to get involved with it. It's a trending thing.
Got you.
But listen, I think we were speaking
before. What's your issue with the coffee parties, PH?
Who said I had an issue?
Ah, my man.
Because I was looking... for me, it's interesting.
Okay.
Right? It's interesting considering the South African construct where a lot of things are based off alcohol. Right?
Okay. My man, and you don't drink matcha.
No, I come. First of all, matcha tastes like moringa, and moringa tastes like shit.
Yeah. No, matcha tastes like shit.
Yo, matcha. I'm a Simba, dog. But that's neither here nor there. But what I was trying to get at is, it's very interesting considering the South African construct, and we were talking about it off air where we've based a lot of things off alcohol, right? Mm. And so, talk to me about a party at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking a morning bang. A morning bang.
We're going for afters, bro.
Yeah, we're for afters, you know? It's called afters in other scenes, or a morning bang, which is like we come from the club going to another club.
Like a Diddy party. Spot.
No, like.
Bro, Diddy used to have parties from 6 in the morning until 12 midday.
Yes.
What
yes,
the hell? It's yes. not always about 6, you guys.
But to these morning bangs, there was no oil, okay? There was no baby oil, so please.
There was no lube.
There was no lube. But anyways, so for me, it's very interesting. So I've seen this thing on social media, you know, doing the rounds where it was like, oh, the club scene is dead. Coffee parties are the one. I'm just like, not really, but carry on.
But they have their place.
Yes, they and that's a thing. I'm just like, one doesn't have to exist by bashing the other. Mm. Right?
No, 100%.
Yeah, club parties are still happening, festivals are still happening, and coffee parties and matcha parties. You know, so for me, I'm like, yo, there's space. Do your thing. Mm. And I think it worked well with the running clubs initially. Now it's just like trying to understand, am I waking up at 6 a.m. in the morning to go
Joel
and drink coffee?
Or matcha.
Is that a thing?
Firstly, I don't think that's like, if I'm not waking up at 6 a.m. I'd go afterwards. But like, I think for normal, you know, like people that don't go out or...
It's to provide an alternative.
They have an alternative.
Yes,
you know, like
yes.
Someone that's super focused on their health and wellness and, you know, and big up respect to you. Like,
sure.
But you know, that's a big thing in Cape Town,
bro. It's a hot, yeah. It's a huge. Most people in Cape Town are very fit, bro. Like, sure. it's a very fit culture there. But I think to provide everyone with something alternate to being in a dark nightclub is always great, bro. Like, and if you think about it, people come to day parties for that, and they leave at whatever, you know.
Sure.
So a day party is a similar thing. It's just now we're putting it in a coffee shop. I think there's the space for that is I don't think it can be like a draw that you'll get at a nightclub or at a festival.
100%.
But you'll get to experience music, different music, different artists, maybe some new up and coming guys that wouldn't get a shot at a festival.
100%.
There's a place for them to grow and
you
know, grow organically out of there.
So for me, like, I don't have an issue with it. It's just it was maybe the implementation in the beginning here in South Africa.
Mm.
So just to make it clear, I don't have an issue with it. I just think a lot of then people then started taking advantage of a trend, and the implementation initially was just like haphazard or weird. And it's like, is it influencer based? Is it coffee based? Is it matcha based?
Is it running club based?
Was it running club based? You know, for me, it was just like, it makes sense. I come from a run. You know, you would usually go for coffee anyways or go for breakfast. Now that you have a DJ, shit, this is cool. And I've done a few of them. In fact, I was... there was two happening this past weekend. You know, and I didn't get to do both of them, but I saw. I was like, this is cool. It is a great...
It's a social thing as well. It's a cool... You meet new people. I think that's also something that for me, I'm single, bro. To meet new people and to meet girls and stuff...
Oh, there were dollies there.
It's very hard in a nightclub scene or at a festival. Like, I don't think you can approach... Like, it's weird if you're going up to chicks in like a dark nightclub. Or
100%.
Like in these days, like more, it's like Tinder. This provides more of like an open space to go and, you know, initiate a conversation. Hey, what brings you here? You know, like
fucking coffee and jewels, bro.
Yeah,
bro.
It's not like,
no wonder you're single. You can't be asking bitches what to
bring you. Can't be sex, drugs, and alcohol.
It's just like, it's a different environment to chat.
Sure.
And a different social setting to be in. And I think, listen, I've been, I watch a lot of Steve Bartlett's podcast.
Sure.
And there's a lot of problems with people socializing these days.
Like Gen Z doesn't drink, apparently. Right?
I don't know about South Africa.
Sure. As, yeah. I also, like, I'm a fuck, man. Most of these research stats come from overseas.
Yeah, maybe not.
I haven't noticed that. Me, when I go out, lighties are shit-faced. So clearly they're doping, but maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm going out to the wrong lighties. But yeah, they're just like, the culture is shifting. You know what I mean? Do you find that, like, obviously you out every weekend, especially in the Cape Town scene, because I think Cape Town is, For those who it don't know, it's like a world favorite. You know, people come to Cape Town for holiday, and when they're there for holiday, they fucking drool flat out. Do you find that the culture is shifting in that way, where perhaps there's a need for these type of things because people aren't doing the same things that we were doing?
I think it's a holistic sort of shift all around on the ecosystem. So, one, the music generally isn't as hard as it used to be.
Yes.
And I'm talking on like on a worldwide scale.
Sure. Yeah, you're like talking kind of music. Kind of music plays
like
in South
Africa.
Coffee.
Sort of, you know, everything's toning down a bit more. Sure, there's, you know, your niche like hard techno jaws or, you know, melodic techno, but everything's winded down a bit more. I feel like there's no one...
Softer.
Yeah, it's just a bit softer of a lifestyle, you know, a little more like there's space.
Sure.
You know, you've got breathing space now. And yeah, like Cape Town, there's just so many things to do, so many different things to experience. You can go for a draw on a Friday and be on Table Mountain on Sunday morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think people just want... options. And I think also the consumer, if we look at it, is not interested in going and seeing the same guy that's been there for 2 years doing the same nightclub every week.
Sure.
They want to go and experience different things. And it's more about what are you giving me as a consumer? Okay, 100%. Everyone's got a bar, everyone's got a sound system. What are you doing differently?
Sure.
You know, like that's whenever I look at events and when I'm curating things and doing stuff, it's like, what can I provide the consumer that's different to what they've experienced before, you know?
Sure.
Anyone can go and put speakers and a stage up.
Mm.
What are you doing beyond that?
Speaking of curating, I mean, you've curated some kick-ass shows. Do you wanna talk about those?
Yeah, I think, jeez, I actually started them with Warwick back in the day. We
used to do drug bodies. we used to get so fucked.
Oh my god.
I can't explain to you how many times I woke up naked
vodka,
next to Jim.
It was vodka and cranberry at the time.
You never ever woke up naked.
You woke up naked.
Ever. But I mean, we started off doing a lot of international shows.
Yes.
We were bringing in a lot of international talent. Blur.
Did you guys do that show in town? At that venue.
So we were the first ones to reopen the station.
Yeah,
you guys, shout out to everyone who's using it now.
Yeah, fuck.
Sorry.
Yes. And we didn't get any
money
for it.
We had to get the stairs, bro. We built those stairs.
Yeah, we had to go to town planning. We had to get it.
Louis,
yes. We had to get it rezoned.
We got it rezoned.
Because it was zoned for like a market.
And this is like something that I've always come back to in my career. Is like, I'm always this guy that puts in the first amount of effort. And then when it comes, then everyone else reaps. And I'm like, I haven't read through what's
going on. Join the club,
here?
My friend.
But I think now I'm in a much better state. But, you know, I started curating things like that. So we did like, it was still in the EDM days when we started with that. And then we started doing more. I mean, I brought Ben Boma here. I don't even want to tell you the fee. It was like less than someone's salary a month is like what I paid him to come here for the first time. And like, he wasn't known. I mean, look at him today. He's got some of the biggest views on the Circle page.
Got you.
I brought Boris Brecher here with Oli Neitz. Shout out Oli. And also for like not massive, they were small acts. Now I hit them up and I'm
different
like,
story.
Oaks are asking for PJs, bro, private jets. Jeez, I'm like, boss.
Sure.
The last time you were here, we were here. And like, you know, so I'm getting a lot more involved now in music and curating. And then I actually left my job last year. I was working for an American company, heading up their enterprise sales into the US, and I just got really bored with it. I started gigging really hard, and it was like very hard managing both.
Sure.
And we just came to like a mutual agreement at the end of it, where it's like, you know, like I think I'm gonna pursue music, and then
it's your calling, man.
It was my calling, and
it's your calling.
I think like a month later, like I'd had money saved up, and
you're Jewish, of course.
Yeah, we're Jewish. You know,
all do.
We've got money saved up and ready, but it starts hitting you like month two, month three. Like, what am I going to do now? Like, I had gigs, obviously. I was very busy, and then Dino gave me a call, and an opportunity arose at Saint, and he's like, "Listen, bro." The Thursdays are open. I think you can do something cool here. And my first thing to him was, I'd moved to Cape Town already.
Yes.
I was like, D, listen, I really want to do this, but like, I cannot be in Joburg every single week. Like, it's just too
it'll
much.
It'll be, you'll be reversing the...
Yeah, exactly.
So it's either like, I move back to Joburg and I do this, or I come to Joburg like twice a month, whatever it is. Like I try to come like twice a month.
Sure.
And I curate it from there. So I started curating Saint Thursdays, and it's called After Dark.
After Dark. I mean, bro, I've been there a couple times.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
I was there on Thursday.
I think we've changed the culture quite a bit there.
No, but where do you find those bitches?
Good question, huh?
They find us, but I think also it's like, you know, I had to take Saint
After Dark Thursdays has got some premium hikes.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I've even played. I think
you've played
one or two times, and I was just like, oof, I want to come back.
I think we must book you again.
But
it's, I had to change. I think, you know, the Thursdays there had been running, you know, very nicely and whatever.
Sure.
But we had to, you know, come in and really stamp our authority. And with me, obviously, with now being so immersed in the Afro scene, like,
yes,
I became very tight with the couple at a stage. I mean, I toured with him overseas for a couple of months.
Sure.
And you know, I just immersed myself into the local the actual Afro house scene.
We'll talk about the bubblegum version, but we'll get into that. Yeah.
You know, started curating these nights, thinking outside the box, and we started, you know, really putting emphasis on the sound of what it sounds like.
Sure.
You don't want it to be 1 week, because you want people to be coming there and thinking, if I go to Saint tonight, I know I'm going to be either in for X, Y, and Z. It's not going to be X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, F, G.
Sure.
And that's why I think it's like, you know, there's nights where like Nutty will just roll in there.
So I wanted to say, because, and I was waiting for you to get to that, where it's become a point where you want, either guys as a DJ, you want to go test the song, right?
Mm.
I've seen, I think Kasango has played there. He's like, yo, what do you think of the song?
Shimza was there as well.
I once bumped into Shimza. It was a Thursday night. He had just flown back from somewhere. He was like, yo, I'm here just to listen. A lot of guys are trying to test new music there, right? Or I've gone there to be like, hey, you know what? I want to hear what the new songs are. So you've done a great job in curating a particular sound for that.
Yeah,
night,
and
which is great.
It's also like, to do that is also to be open to inviting those guys to come in.
Sure.
So it's like, come in, guys. Come network. Because when these guys are touring, like most of the Afro guys are, their schedules are massive,
crazy,
bro. Like, shout out to them, bro. Like, those oaks are pushing. But it's very rare that you get to come home and then you're sitting in at home. You're like, where can I go tonight? Now we've created that space for people to come through. Come have a nice dinner with your mates, catch up. Even if it's not with music industry guys, but at least you're coming through afterwards. And you know, we've got a Void rig in there. It's like one of the best sound systems in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, really, really happy with the way things have been going there. Shout out to my entire Saint team. Like, big ups to everyone. We put a lot of emphasis there on that Thursday as well.
Shout out to the person who gets the chicks.
Yeah, but it's also
that
just... It's not just, you know, like, I think it's also like, for me, is I've always wanted it to feel like a family space. Like, we're all in it together. And that's why you're like, from the cleaner, and this is something like my late father taught me, is like, from the cleaner to the club owner,
respect everyone in the
Like, bring together, like, you know, and that's, I think that's what builds onto more of the DJs coming in there. It's like, you know, we're building something cool, we're building culture, and really having a lot of fun doing it. Eh, Warwick, you've had a lot of fun there.
I have had some fun there, thank you.
I mean, anything beyond just obviously like the
Thursdays? Yeah, there's a festival I've just got involved in now with a couple of guys. It hasn't been launched yet, so I don't want to give you too much, but it's happening in November.
Obviously a Jewish festival.
And I think if everything goes to plan, we will be having a big street party in Sandton.
Sick.
So that's,
I mean, you guys can
another
get
thing
that
in
sign
Cape
off.
Town. And then I'm actually currently working on three festivals for, I wouldn't say actually the one's not a festival, but something for December this year, and two massive festivals for next year with international brands. Which bringing them into the country. So, and yeah, I mean, it's just all an evolution, bro. It's like, you know.
Is it sustainable, hey, these big shows? Because, in fact, I think what I've realized that either there's a license fee that you guys pay to produce the shows, or obviously you then take the risk. But are these
shows... What do you mean a license fee?
So one thing that I've learned, like if I am doing Pola and you are the main promoter in Cape Town, you're like, yo, give me here's $1 million.
Yes, he has a license fee.
It looks like this. The rest is yours. Is it sustainable, you know?
I think it's, listen, I think when working with any international DJ brand or whatever, sure. we've got to bring them back down to rand terms.
Like, got you.
This isn't, you know, it's not Ibiza, it's yeah. not Greece, it's not London, sure. it's South Africa. We, you know, unfortunately,
push far.
Firstly, routing is a huge problem for acts. Yeah, yeah. And then secondly is money, bro.
Like, what do you mean routing? Like to come out here?
Yeah.
I'll make an example. Sorry, just to give context to what he was saying. I was watching a video of Fisher Now. He was in, I think within 32 hours, he did 4 shows, right?
Mm.
And obviously, you can only do that with a jet. It takes 16 hours just to get to South Africa. Then,
okay.
Do you get what I'm saying? So, in terms
Whereas
of...
if he's in Europe, he can say yeah, Spain, he can, London, you know, Portugal.
You're able to chat to multiple promoters to share the jet cost or the travel cost. Here, you are solely on.
You've got to stop the jets in Kenya.
Yeah. It's you, boss. There's
yeah.
no one else.
You know, so, yeah.
So there's a lot of challenges that I've come into, and I think it's been something that, you know, we did all these shows before COVID, and then, you know, COVID happened. I was kind of busy with doing my job and whatever, and now I'm back in it, and it's, bro, the fees that are going around are into, like, I cannot believe what some of these DJs are charging, like. So you've got to think out the box, but we're working on some very cool projects. And yeah, I think it's going to be a fun summer. I always look forward to summer in South Africa. Like wherever you are in this country, from December, like
it's 31 God. Saturdays.
Can I come hang out with you in Cape Town for summer?
I wish I was only there, bro. I move around, but not I'll as much as PH. But PH moves.
See, I've been with PH two summers in a row. Except fuck this. Let's move.
But yeah, listen. I think it's going to be an exciting couple of months. I've also been, you know, working on music and my brand and things. Sure.
Releases, international travel.
Yeah, talk to us about that song. So Jevon sent me a song. Obviously, we can't play it, but you know the one, that one that I told you, make that thing private, your puss.
It was private. You anyway. Just see it as, you don't have glasses.
In terms of the sound, I don't understand SoundCloud anymore. Sure. Lost on the 10 years ago.
Sure.
Warwick's still on MySpace. Hunting hands.
Get him, man.
Jesus Christ.
Get on my music on Facebook. What is your opinion of the sound? I think last week we had Tulani on and we were speaking, he's doing the Amapiano Awards, right? And we were speaking about how globally our sound, like the South African sound, you know, like you spoke of Takapo, you know, the guys that we know,
Cooking
Takapo,
Afro Inonapa.
Shimza's killing it.
Shimza fucking destroying. Boss.
Yo.
He's gone.
It's moving.
You know what I mean? Mm. Shizempek. In any case, I'm looking at it from a perspective of our sound is globally relevant.
Has been,
yeah, right? But is enough happening here locally to sort of celebrate that fact? It's like, you know, we were speaking about Kind of Music earlier, where I saw a lot of TikToks about their show in London. People are like, this fucking show is balls. I felt like, you know, as somebody who's done events, it's the event promoter's fault. I don't think it's Kind of Music's fault that event was shit. If you looked at the way that the shoots were set up, you know,
I saw the video.
It looks like they just got a field and they said, fuck it, cut costs as much as possible because Kind of Music probably charged them an arm and a leg or whatever.
What are those guys?
Crank Brothers.
Right. Yeah, they did the show.
It just seemed like people were complaining about the stage, the size of the stage. It looked like everything else was budget. There was no security around, queues for the toilets, queues for the food, whatever.
Mm.
But obviously Kind of Music was there. Now, those folks are coming here, right, towards the end of the year. Massive fucking hype about it. So I would say with things like that happening, it also sets us up as a destination for massive festivals. Mm. But is there enough work going into producing and curating events on a level where when the world sees that the owners, the custodians of the sound are doing shit like this, or they're going to come here and see you eating vores and pop there?
Well, you asshole.
I think there's I think it's twofold, bro. So like, for instance, the Kind of Music show is, you know, firstly, Kind of Music isn't just the Three Oaks. I don't know if you know, but there's a team of,
and
think,
me,
like,
Rampa.
There's like 7 of them, bro.
Right.
They're actually Kind of Music. I think it's 7 or 8 of them. Mm. They kind of tell you how that show needs to look and feel.
Okay.
Similar to with like some of these brands I'm working
with
now. Is that, you know, they kind of dictate what that show looks and feels like. But I think locally, I don't think we've done enough to bring ourselves from a local, you know,
sure,
into that mega festival. I sure think, like, if you look at Shimza with Kunye, he's doing a really, really good job.
Merlon with Anywhere Merlon, in Your City.
Anywhere in Your City. Mm-hmm. I think Coffee's been doing, like, here and there. Like, he did that stuff with Who Made Who in Cape Town the weekend.
But they also, cool, when him and Temba were still doing Deep in the City.
Deep in the
City.
Yeah,
yeah, Deep in the City.
They
did
a Deep in the City at the end of the year last year. I think they
did.
With Francis Mercier. At
Monte Cassino.
But, like, you know, it's just like, are those things becoming, like, you know, I think the guys get sometimes caught up. I think locally promoters need to do a bit more.
More, yeah.
Because if you think, this is where Afro House originates.
100%.
That's what it is.
House 100%. Music originates from overseas. Sure. Give them that. Sure, 100%.
Yeah. But Afro's,
Afro belongs, this is our thing.
Sure.
And I think, you know, it's been watered down a bit, that side.
Extremely.
Extremely. But
and Nigerians are also saying they own it.
No, man.
You know Nigerians, bro.
I want to just quickly touch on it where...
Nigerians?
No, fuck. Oh. I was mildly disappointed when I traveled Europe last year. Like, and I experienced some of these shows that you mentioned. And it's just like the music is mid, bro. Like, there's no...
I think there's a general... lack of, like,
understanding,
taking it to the, you know, building that set up, you know, it kind of goes here and stays here and doesn't go.
Got you.
It's, and I also feel that, and I think that's why there's, like, there needs to be that different genres involving each other. Like, for me, you should go from, like, Afro house into, like, a bit of, like, either maybe like house tech music or like a bit of melodic techno. Like, the night should progress because, like, each genre can only take you to a certain level. And if you're running a festival for 12 hours, like, you can't just have Afro on all day. Like,
but you then look at a festival like Kunye where you Kunye, can.
Yeah.
And because I guess it's at home, you'll hear, firstly, there'll be no repeats of any songs, right?
Yeah,
There's a span of music, and it literally, the guy who played at 1 o'clock played an Afro set, but the guy who's closing the festival at 9, 10, 11, you know, is also killing it, you know, with a wide variety of sound. It's sad that it doesn't translate overseas. Like, I've gone there and I'm just like...
Yeah, like...
But there's also, you know, overseas, like, there's something to be said about, you know, there's one thing, Shimza, right? What you can't take away from Shimza, he's a purist.
Yeah.
He's always been about the sound.
And a smart businessman as well.
Big time. I mean, I remember when we started YTKO.
Sure.
Believe it or not, the first time I found Jews, it's not you guys. I went to something that happened like at 5, right? Sure. Is when I went to 5FM and I said, okay, cool. It's going to be Sao Bomb. It's going to be Das Kapital. It's going to be Vatokay. This is what we're doing.
Sure.
And remember that auntie, Justine.
Justine.
And the other bosses, right? Shout out, Justine. Just send me a DM. What happened was, actually, my number's the same. Hit me up.
Sure.
She was like the boss, not only her, it was her and like a lot of senior management. Sure. Because sometimes the people in the positions that make the decisions are not the target audience. Mm. They were like, nah, the fuck, this shit is like too left of field.
Sure.
You know, you've got to play commercial music, bring the shit back to like Ultimix at 6 vibes. And I was like, fuck that. These people are getting massive. I mean, at that time, Das Kapital was getting like 700,000 listens on SoundCloud.
He was huge.
He was massive. Huge. But nobody knew him commercially.
Sure.
And I was like, listen, there's something to be said about the sound because, you know, like the purest ideal is let us put out what the people want and they'll come. And obviously it worked and Das Kapital is still there, sharp.
Sure.
Jevon is still here type of thing. Mm. Shimza, I remember when we started YTKO and it was myself and fortunately the program manager at the time, Tumelo was a purist. That guy would go to Deep House gigs and drink one beer the whole night and just jam. You know what I mean? And we were like, Shimza, Friday, YTKO. Sure. And you know, Shimza with that drummy sound, this is in the days where he was taking tracks from Heavy K.
Sure.
Nobody knew Heavy K. It was still 0.5. You were sending songs from the Eastern Cape. You know how hard it is for a song to come out the Eastern Cape. It's got to cross a river on its way to school.
Why do you do that to my people?
So songs were landing. Shimza was like, I got a new one from 0.5 this week. It's called Gun Song.
Yeah.
Remember the Gun Song?
Yeah.
Played that shit, got into trouble.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So there's this purist ideal that I feel like if you follow through with it, the examples are there to say, when you do that, it's going to work. And Kunye is one of those events.
Also, what goes hand in hand there is, because Afro House is from here,
sure,
the audience receives it a lot better than
100%
audience overseas. Is like, you know, if you, and I've been to many Kunye, brother, like, even when I went to kind of music shows here when they came last time, brother, energy in Joburg, and I went to both, absolutely out-smashed Cape Town.
Sure,
Cape Town was like a model influencer scene, and Joburg was a raw, like the energy of the crowd.
They played for like 7 hours in.
Like just like everyone, you know, it's not often you see like black and white people drawing together.
100%.
You know, and it baffles me still why it doesn't happen. Yeah. But on those, that event was just like so mixed and there was just so much emotion and it felt like it was good, bro. And I implore people to go out and experience more of what our local talent has.
So speaking on that, I think two shows, and again, we'll go back to it, but two shows who have really lived up to an international standard every single time that they do the shows are Anywhere in Your City and Kunye, bro. Like, and you will find that mix of white and black people, you know, where it's just like we're first and foremost we're here
and
for the music
are.
Obviously on a more regular scale, but then a more regular scale, but you know, smaller, but makes sense.
Yeah,
it's community building, but those shows are so well executed. The sound, you know, the sound is of worldly quality, and then the audience as well, you know, just speaking on what you were saying now, the audience, man, and then the music, bro. It's like, fuck, you will hear proper sound from the first song to the last one.
Yeah,
you know? And that's what I love about those guys. So it's sad that it doesn't translate
overseas. I think also overseas the problem is it's just like guys jumping on these bandwagons,
100%,
you know. It's like it reminds me of what happened in sort of the EDM revolution, bro. Where like EDM came in and there's just like there were a few good original songs, but everything else was just remixes of fucking shit from years ago, bro. And that's what's going on. And listen, there are a lot of good artists, credit to them, but like I don't think that builds longevity of just doing remixes. Originals is what builds a career and builds longevity. You've seen these guys, like the big thing right now is like you see these guys, they'll go and remix a song. They'll send it to Kind of Music.
Sure.
Kind of Music will play it. Someone will video it. They'll put it on their TikTok. It'll go up. Okay, you get the views and whatever, but now what's your next move from that? Are you going to remix another song?
Sure. I lost my mind when I heard, there's a remix of is it Calibra? What is it?
Calibra.
And I was like, I heard it.
Actually, Kitty and Moore playing it the other night.
I was like, shout out Kitty, she's dope. But I was I was like, but it makes sense for that side of the world. I don't think you would ever hear
that. And that's why I think when a lot of these European guys come here for Kunye and stuff like that, they struggle with the crowd.
You
can yell when they go on.
100%.
And the crowd's like, we must wait an hour.
Because they're not on the level.
The local crowd here is so beautiful and so entrenched in whatever music it is, but whether it be like Koms making a big comeback now, and like, you know, you see the piano guys and you see some of the piano guys are now moving into Afro House. I'm like, this is interesting what's going on here. But shout out, like, you know, you've got to evolve your sound. Yeah. You've got to keep evolving.
You know, back in the day, right, like I used to go with the Mondays and the Bobsters, something just to touch on your point. There were DJs like, do you remember DJ Toyota?
I remember the
Zidane.
Yeah.
Right? These guys were like the local resident DJ at the pub in Soweto. Guy. Right? He wasn't mainstream. He never featured on radio, but he was a god there. Right? Mm. And you'd go to a place like Ozone in Soweto, which was like Ozone was acting. They sold quartz. This guy would play like a deep house set for 3 hours. Okay? And you wouldn't know any of the songs. Sure. But it's like that purism of music, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Where he's actually, what you don't understand is this guy's actually on a level above the level.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like that Vinnie Da Vinci 115 level.
Sure.
Where it's like, fuck, these people actually, their investment in the craft is, I think, what has given them that type of longevity.
I don't think we see that anymore with DJ. You know, like, I think there was a good point that people just kind of remix what's moving and then put it out because obviously it's going to resonate with this, like, commercial audience.
Yeah.
But I don't know if those are the people that are going to take us into the future.
Anyways. Jeff, what's next for you, bro?
What's next, bro? Yeah, as I said, continuing. I've got a couple projects that I'm going to be launching in Cape Town really soon. I'm doing some stuff on First Thursdays there. That's one thing that also baffles
that's
me.
That's a First big culture Thursday that side.
Is like
closed streets.
Bro, closed streets. They're such good energy on a first Thursday.
Because nobody works
in
Cape Town on a Friday, bro.
No, bro, no one works in summer there, bro. Oaks are on the beach at 2 o'clock. I literally, like, listen, I don't have a day job per se, but I'll go to the beach at like 2. The whole of Cape Town's on the beach, bro. Oaks are mellowing.
And you know what I'll tell you, PH? You know the story.
Sure. Bro.
Like, you could have been to Cape Town if you've been to Cape Town. Cape Town's a vibe. But go to Cape Town with Jews. It's a whole other Cape Town. Yeah. It's like Wakanda. You know how the planes fly, and then it's like, yo, what kind of technology? Like, you blacks don't understand.
What kind of place is this?
That's like, land and just be like, I'm being picked up at the airport by my Jewish friend.
Yeah.
It's a whole other Cape Town.
No, I've experienced a different side.
I've been back to places I went to with Jeff, and they don't let me in. And I'm like, it's me. I was with Jeff, dog. And they're like, we can't let you in. You have tattoos.
Sure.
No, but I think, so just I'm launching some stuff. I'm doing a lot of work with the Marble Group, which is really like giving me a great platform to be creative. And they really give me a lot of freedom.
Free tickets to the circus.
I'll give you Oaks. Don't worry, hook you up. I'm sure you're playing at the circus.
I played the last
one. Ooh, let's vibe. Fucking First Thursday.
So, the circus. I'm helping with a bit of the circus stuff. Sure. I do a bit of like sort of event consultation. So I help with, this and that on different events. And I don't know. I've got a couple of business interests that I'm seeking. But a lot of music coming out. I think I've got about... Over the last 2 years, I've produced about 20 tracks which have never come out.
Because release, brother.
It's time to release into the world and let's see what happens, bro.
Release.
That's pretty much me. I told you the festivals next year and just seeing where life takes you. I think it's really nice not to, be stuck at a desk. And I think it's something we're very privileged to do is what we get to do 100%. Every week.
We are recording
when you're coming
this
back, bro. To the DJ.
He's working on music this one, but he must release
Kojiro.
Also.
Kojiro.
He must Kojiro. Get rid of that name.
Yeah.
That's not going to... Kojiro and
Kojiro,
what tattoos.
Dog. And it's taking off. Let me tell you. The other day, I went to... Where was I?
For breakfast. It's not going to work.
No, I swear. I went for breakfast or something. And so... Oh, fuck no. It was at Saints the other day. But and the guy, the waiter, when he brought my pizza... He was like, Shosho Kojiro. And I looked at him and I'm like, and he's like, I heard what you said, bro. I know you are Kojiro now.
Stupid.
BH, it's taking off, dog. That's how it starts.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, watch.
I'm not being a hater. I'm just saying.
You're being a hater, bro. You're doubting.
I don't know. You do look like a bit of like a
saint, my man.
You do look like a bit of a Kojiro.
Kojiro.
We need to get you like long hair, bro.
Kojiro sounds like, what's his thing? Thingy on Tekken. What's that?
It's an anime.
Yes.
It's an anime. Fight. Like from back in the day, right? Like when we were kids in apartheid, there was this anime called Tsubasa. Right, it was the soccer thing.
Okay.
And you could listen to the simulcast in Zulu. Remember those days you could switch on the radio?
Yes.
And then on Ukozi FM, just before your time, Jim, you guys weren't allowed to watch our channels.
Sure.
So the series was on, and then it would, like, the TV version would either be in English, Afrikaans, or Zulu. But you could then interchange with the simulcast on the radio.
Mm.
And let's say you wanted to hear it in Zulu, Bob's your uncle. So we'd listen to it on Ukozi, and obviously they never changed the people's names. So this guy was like, Kojiro, whatever, And then the Zulu simulcast would be like, Nangu Kojiro.
Wow.
Oh,
anyways.
So, that name is going to work, bro.
Listen, the world is burning, and there's a lot of things we need to discuss.
Where is it burning?
World War III? What?
Well, technically not, because, Trump is a one move man. Tell you something, right? I saw Mike Benz, right, made this video on TikTok where he was like, guys, if you haven't watched Top Gun Maverick, go watch Top Gun Maverick. The plot for Top Gun Maverick is exactly what Trump carried out. It's just in Top Gun Maverick, they don't name the country that they need to strike against.
Sure.
They just say like a country in the Middle East
Sure.
that is threatening our allies.
Right? And then Tom Cruise and then pull off this fucking impossible mission to hit the bunker or whatever. But I did my research on what those bombs are. Do you know it's a MOP? M-O-P. Do you know it's a MOP?
Something, ordnance, something.
Massive ordnance penetrator. Okay. Only America has this bomb. Sure. That's why they had to do the hit. Sure. So the bomb hits the ground, burrows 200 meters down, kaboom, to blow up this fucking underground bunker that Iran supposedly had.
Hey.
Do you believe they had an underground bunker?
Who?
Iran.
I don't believe anything nowadays. I don't believe anything nowadays.
But what's your stance, Jeff? Are you a Trump fan?
I'm a big Trump fan. I'm a MAGA all the way, bro.
Hard.
Hard Trump guy.
Do you think he made the right decision?
I think he had to make that decision, bro.
Did he?
I think, you know what? I think he would. He brought them to the table, said to them, guys, listen, let's make a deal. Here's 60 days. Waited.
What? You can't he be waited like Biden and Kamala, days, to be bro. Fair.
You can't be like Biden and Kamala, bro. Like, that'll go sleeping the whole 4 years, like, and also,
and Kamala was laughing.
You need to re-give America strength to the world, bro. And what he's doing is. Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. What did he say? What
is
he doing? Culture is over, bro.
Iran is not Iraq, gents. Like,
No. Iran's not a fucker. Yeah, but you know what the thing is, right? Most countries that are nuclear, most countries with nuclear weapons, right? There's this thing called the something doctrine. It's
it's like the watchdog sort of.
Yeah, like no. It's mutual assured destruction.
Yes.
Doctrine, I think it's MAD.
Sure.
Basically, what it means is if you are PH and you've got nuclear weapons,
sure.
and I'm Warwick and I've got nuclear weapons, we won't attack each other because of mutually assured destruction.
Yes.
If you launch, I'll know you launched, and before your shit hits, I launch.
Sure.
You are fucked. I am fucked.
Yes.
We are fucked.
Yes.
What they're saying is, like, I was listening to one of these commentators, and he was like, if you look at, like, Iran.
Pakistan.
Right.
Yes.
Pakistan, India. And India's got, Pakistan's got. They're not going to launch because they'll fuck each other.
No, but they've said that we've got you. Should anyone strike, we've got you.
Fair enough. Yes. But the problem is if they say we've got you, then they incur the wrath of America. So it's like, we've got you.
Geographically, have you seen it's Iran, Pakistan, Russia, China, and then India's in the mix somewhere there. And all of them are saying, we're together, boss.
Yeah, but that's... Do you know how many nuclear weapons America
has?
Just
those names, eh?
Yeah, but it's not, bro, it's not done from America. There's fucking submarines and army bases all over the world.
Of course, yeah.
They'll be fucked. America can obliterate the world if they want.
Nah, I don't.
But it's not to say the world can't obliterate America.
Yes, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Is that, yes, America can obliterate the world if they launch against multiple targets. Everyone's fucked. But America will also be fucked. We will also be fucked. Because that amount of nuclear... war.
Sure.
We'll fuck the whole country up.
Sure.
Like, with the whole world up. So that's why it's kind of this mutually assured destruction thing. India won't launch because India has some sort of self-preservation doctrine or ideology.
Sure.
What they're saying is, or some very sober comments I heard, is that the Iranian regime has, for years, since that Bali got on, he has been saying that we...
do not want to attack.
No, not we don't want to attack. He's saying, fuck a debt to America, debt to Israel. They say shit like that.
Okay.
That shit, like, you can take it lightly for only so long. The problem is that their philosophy on if we all die, where do we go? Doesn't match your philosophy. Putin doesn't want to die. He's got young bitches that he fucks all the time.
Oh my God.
He's a billionaire. He's got, you know, Putin's got a nice life. That fucking, that timer is living there in a bunker.
Sure.
You understand? It's not like, his life, he's 80-something years old now. My thing is, when politicians are in their 80s, we've got a problem. Because you don't have any self-preservation. You are vying. You're going to make a decision for us. We've still got years to live, boss. You've lived. Rather vie. Let younger people take over. Because 70% of Iranians are against the regime that runs Iran. It's very, very oppressive.
All the countries are against the ideologies of their government.
Yes. They're talking about, it's fine, Dala us, we'll show you. Because, and then they're telling everyone, it's fine if they Dala us because we'll get 72 virgins in heaven. What if there's no 72 virgins? What if you get there and it's a dinner party? There's no guarantees, bro.
Oh, God. The world is burning, man.
So, anyway, let's hope it fucking... I want peace.
Peace in the Middle
Trump,
East.
Peace, bro. Everyone wants peace, bro.
And there's a line that Trump... when he was still in the run for president, they asked him about Russia, Ukraine. I don't care what he's doing now. I think it was the most sensible line I've ever heard. He said, I want people to stop dying. Do you understand? I don't have a horse in this race, but if people could stop dying, that would be great. I don't think it's fair that the Iranian people have to pay for the sins of the Iranian regime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Listen, bro, everyone wants peace. Everyone wants to live in security and be safe, bro.
Brother, we just want a jewel. We want to go to Jevons parties. We want to get these Jewish bitches, and that's what we want. Is that so much to ask? You know what I'm saying, Jeff? We live in a cosmopolitan life, bro.
Yeah, the Jewish dollies at Jim. Oh, my God.
You see what I mean? And, bro, I've been going out to Jeff for years. You know how many colored bitches he's been fucking this He's been finishing our people. It's fucking revenge apartheid out here. We need to take something back. We need to expropriate without compensation.
You don't provide the financial security. You must snip first, boss.
Yeah? Huh?
You need to snip first.
I snipped.
Bro.
I'm in.
Now into the push. Come, let's go. Boozy's in the building. What's happening, Boozy?
What's up, everybody? Hey, man. I know I've been away for a minute, but every famous person needs a break, right? Hard-working person. Mina. So the WhatsApp leak goes like this. I hacked my situationship's Netflix. And saw a profile named Bay. I slew my leg. I confronted him, and he said it's for his cousins. The gag. His only cousin's been dead for 3 years. Should I expose him and stand to lose him? Or just keep binge-watching as revenge? Yeah. Netflix, Clipper, Showmax, Clipper, Prime, Clipper. I know, Bugala, this one.
I want to comment on this because it's very funny. So WhatsApp leaks, basically, Mbuzi, someone sends an anonymous message to say some situation. And I think this situation is they were sharing a Netflix account. I think now the person that they were sharing a Netflix account is saying that it was the cousin when it wasn't the cousin.
And the cousin's name is there. You know, when you go into your profile.
Yeah, right. Mm. And now apparently someone else is using it. But I want to use it to my context where, so I don't watch TV, right? I hardly watch TV. And what happened was I was tired of all the Netflix shows. I'd like seen a bit of the Netflix shows.
Netflix is tired.
Yeah,
you know. Can scroll
and
for
so
hours.
I want a biggish TV in my dining room, right? So I went, it's a smart TV. I'm like, ish, let me download Showmax, right? Aka, Showmax. And next thing, I'm like, there's someone's name there. I'm like, which one is this? Like someone had downloaded, obviously there was a dolly.
Yeah, it was on your Showmax.
No, she logged in. She logged in on my TV.
On her account. Ah.
So I was like, oh, okay. Let me see what she's watching, right? Mm. See what she's watching.
Adulting.
Then it's like, you know, Housewives, the American ones, all these. And then I started watching a few shows on her Showmax. I'm pretty sure, I don't think she knows that I still watch. But when I go onto a Showmax, there'll be like girly girl shows, and then there'll be like an action movie, like and then there'll be
a that's run, not
like,
her.
I'm sure she's sitting there like, who the fuck is? So yeah, if she is, I'm not gonna mention her name, but if she's watching now, thanks for the Showmax.
Thanks
logins.
For the logins.
I think there needs to be like a straight up couples like. Thing is, you need to sign out of your Netflix when you leave or whatever. Bro.
I was confused, like, yo, when the fuck? Funny enough, how this happened, another dolly was like, do you have Showmax?
Mm.
Then she saw the name, she's like,
oh, what
that? I was like, hey, look.
Listen, this is my cousin.
This is my cousin.
I phone her now.
But yeah, so
I once stayed at, I think it was at Houghton Hotel, and I switched on the TV and I went to the YouTube.
Yeah, remember Rockefeller as well.
Well, Rockefeller,
Rockefeller,
and
man.
Fucking Uncle Vinny was logged in.
Yeah. It was vocalistic. It was vocalistic.
And I'm like,
it was at the penthouse of the Rockefeller in Cape Town.
And we logged into the TV,
vocalistic is logged in.
It's like vocalistic. And then we're like, history.
Because yeah, like, yeah, YouTube, you can get deep into. Yeah, like Netflix, bro. It sounds like boring.
Yeah.
Like
YouTube, Netflix, you see, what is this bro watching? Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, we saw Focalistic's history.
Yes. And he was watching, like, you know, like the history of pride.
No, don't lie. Don't lie. So the lesson here, log out of any fucking TV that you
Pride
watch.
Month events coming.
So I've never paid for Showmax.
Shout out Foca.
And I've enjoyed Showmax. So I'm sure the story's not going to see it. But yeah, it's been about a year now.
Yeah. Right. If there needs to be a rule. Is that like when we
split? No, it should just like log you out, bro. Or like give you a pop-up. Like these companies, they fuck a lot of people over, bro. Like, imagine your girlfriend cheats on you now, you using her thing, you want to phone her to, you know, like, that's, I don't
you
know.
You want to phone her for the password, just send a code.
So, you know, on Netflix, you can create, like, multiple accounts, like, kids. I had once gone onto a shared thingy, I was like, oh, that's what you're watching. Mm, okay, but I deleted that profile, because I don't want questions, should anyone watch my, it's like, oh, why
PH has had more people logged into his Netflix than anyone I know.
Cuck, man.
Your Netflix password
I'm
is celibate, your Netflix
I'm single, I'm
password
sober.
Is a whore.
Yeah, I drink matcha, okay? I drink matcha, I'm sober.
Like, hi, good day, PH, you're a whore bag.
Yo, log out of your fucking, of any TV there, and yeah, you'll be fine. But yeah, it's been a great show.
Tips for Kings.
Brother, thank you
Thanks
very much for your time.
Jevi.
We'll see you in Sabbath.
We'll see you for Shabbos on Friday.
Thursday.
Pre-Shabbos at Saint, even though you don't like
coming.
Yeah,
pre-Shabbos at Saint, Thursday.
I've been to Shabbos, too much chow.
Lock in, and then we say Jewish bitches.
I'll get you one of those samosas again.
Beats fucking pop and burbles.
That's fine, to Jevi's.
I mean, yeah, we say Jewish dollies over the weekend. What do you say?
One time, dog.
We're out of here. The Shady Podcast. Shout out to all the new subscribers.
Shout out all the Jewish dollies in Israel. If you need a place to hide, pull in. We covered you.
We are out of here. See you again next week.
Cheers, guys. Go.
Take it easy. If it's easy, take it home.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. You're
doing the throwbacks, bro. Huh? Take it easy.